Hey everybody, this is Drew.
This is Brian.
And this is Blake.
And you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 115 of the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast. Before we get started, I'm going to go ahead and go through the social media preamble, let you know where you can find us, let you know what's going on. You can find us on all social media platforms by searching the podcast name, the entire podcast name. The longer the better. The more you type in, the happier Andrew and Blake are going to be. Yeah. You can keep track of all the comings and goings of the podcast. And most importantly, you can find us on Twitch, and us includes me with the three smoking controllers when we're doing the co-op endeavors. What is that? Some one of y'all hit me with the Twitch. What's the name, the address for that?
Twitch.tv/two smoking controllers.
See, that's why we keep you around. That's why you're the brains behind the operation. There you can follow us and drop in whenever we go live. We don't have a set schedule. We try to hit Wednesdays. But that's very loose because we have lives and families and all those things.
Yeah, wives.
Yeah, and they complicate the world, but they also keep it going all around. So I guess we deal with what we deal with. There's also a store and a Patreon page. Both of those support the cost of maintaining the podcast, a.k.a. art from Mladen Markovic, a.k.a. Devious Pixel, who we would also like to thank for the art.
Mm-hmm. Good guy.
Big thanks goes out to Jared and the guys from Emerge for letting the podcast use Letting Go as the intro song. Like Drew always likes to say, it's probably the best part of the podcast. And if you think so, that's fine. We also think it's the best part of the podcast. So you're not hurting anybody's feelings.
I'd like to mention, as a side note, we mentioned our cousin's channel sometimes, well, all the time. He actually got a song from from Emerge as well. I forget which song he got. Dang, I think I forgot the loop again. But he edited his intro to his YouTube channel. It's edited to like the beat of the song, and it looks and sounds really cool. I don't know if you or Blake have seen it, but the intro for his new season is all to an Emerge song. It looks really freaking cool.
And that is Zukovius. You guys can find him on Patreon and also on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. Zukovius. I won't try to spell it.
I can't spell off the top of my head. Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes.
The link will be in the link for all of this stuff can be found in the show notes.
For sure.
And now it's time to hear from the third member of the three smoking controllers co-op endeavors, one Mr. Blake.
Well, you forgot the most important person. You forgot someone to thank, Brian.
Yourself?
Me?
Thank you. Yeah, our podcast editor and cousin, Brian.
That's me. Podcast editor first, because that's what makes me important. Cousin second, because that's just something we couldn't control.
That's a byproduct.
Yeah, you couldn't control that.
If it could just happen to all of us.
Did we announce it? We always
announce it. Yeah, if people follow the podcast or if they show up to any of our streams, people rarely do. We like them.
We had a couple people. We had some folks.
You may remember the guy's name. We want to shout him out. The guy who showed up.
Oh Lord,
HK. Oh my God,
H Hunter Killer. No.
Now I'm gonna feel bad. Now he's WK listening.
Whack. It was WK something because I called him Whack.
God, now he's gonna listen. Like, oh
no,
He said it was his initials, but it was also backwards. Okay that we didn't know how to pronounce it.
Regardless, you're listening. You know who you are. We appreciate you showing up.
If you show up more often, we'll remember your name.
To the comments.
Yep.
I can't go back to that and scroll through the comments, can I?
No.
No.
But I think it was WK something. I feel awful for not knowing it, but Whack. Thanks.
But it was very cool to talk to somebody who listened to the podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't family.
And he confirmed he wasn't family. Or she. I think it was a he. I don't really know.
Yeah, we're sexist.
Women get back in the kitchen.
Oh, gosh.
I'll edit that out later.
But we don't have to. All right, so the world needs to know Blake's sexist.
Yeah. And I'm looking for sugar mamas, so. I'll get in the kitchen. I'll rub your bunions. I don't care.
So what this is, if you listen to the podcast regularly, you know that Brian's not always here, but we talk about these episodes coming up is the episode where we talk about one of the many games that we've played with him since the inception of all of this stuff. I don't know how many we've done now. We've played a lot of games. It's funny when we first started the idea of this, like, oh man, there's no way we're going to play enough games to... These episodes are going to come too fast, but we have enough games, and now we're like six games behind on this list.
Yeah, we're backlogged pretty well.
We're backlogged pretty well on the episodes for this, so there's no worries. The only problem with that is now if we've played the game, like basically mentioned the game we played, was this 6, 7, 8 months ago we played this game?
At least, yeah.
Yeah, I got pretty decent memories of it, so it shouldn't be too hard to powwow about it.
Nah, I can remember this one.
Yeah. All right, Blake, you want to... Give us a little spiel here.
No, dude, this is more than 6 months ago.
Really?
This is
What was your last achievement?
I feel like this is about to surprise me.
The last achievement I got was February 23rd, 2023. This is like 18 months ago.
Wowee.
Wowee,
time flies. It feels like we were just playing the game.
Yeah, not that long ago. No, not at all.
Time flies.
The last achievement I got was at what's 2200? Is that 10 o'clock?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
10:35, I got my last achievement.
Just as a reference, we're currently playing Dark Souls 2, and in between the game we're talking about today and Dark Souls 2 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, other games. I mean, that's how we're five games backlogged. This is good. It gives us, you know, plenty of content. Yeah, we're five games backlogged on this. We're not, we got a long ways to go. We could almost double up on these, but we don't want to.
Nah.
Do that. Unless me and Blake, I haven't played enough games and we panic and have to throw another one of these together, which we haven't.
I feel like that's never going to be a problem.
Hasn't happened yet. But when we stumble into like these past, we'll say like the past couple of months, we had 100 hours of Final Fantasy Rebirth, which sets you back on building it. Because I really don't want to do a Rebirth episode. I don't really want to talk about that. And this now we're talking about with Brian off pocket, we just got done wrapping up a Gamefly game that was like 60 almost 70 hours. So that cuts into our trying to like build up content for the podcast, but we still have plenty of games usually. Now the problem is the game's getting further and further away, up to 18 months ago, fuzzier and fuzzier, and I'm getting worse and worse at taking notes. I've come to realize when we started getting better, what are you talking about?
I
know. I hate it, dude. There's nothing like you. Have you ever tried like playing a game and pausing every 2 minutes to like write down something? It sucks. It absolutely sucks. Blake's
you can
bad.
Never get into the game when you're doing it that way.
I'm even to the point now where I'm playing. I was like, I should write that down. I don't know where my notebook's at. I should write that down. And like, there's lots of stuff I wish I'd written down. I know it made me writing stuff down makes the podcast better, but makes me really upset to have to.
So you just take a screenshot, dude. Screenshot.
I've taken pictures of my screen before. I really should use the screenshot feature on the Xbox more often. I used to record things, and then I could take recording. I did before. I took recordings of Yakuza and stuff, and then I was able to like capture them from the Xbox app and then share them through our podcast social media. Should do that more often. Mm-hmm. It's good gaming content. I think I shared the one where there's a Yakuza sub story where you end up finding a bunch of adult guys in diapers, and I did one of the heat actions where you had a pole in the room and I jacked the pole up his butt. I mean, but it's funny because all the guys are in diapers.
I think I got one that's like Majima going, "Well, ain't that just a swift kick in the dick?"
totally off topic, totally not what we're supposed to be talking about right now. But did y'all see the announcement of the Like a Dragon Yakuza series
that's live action too?
Yeah.
And out of nowhere. Like that means they've been working on it.
Yeah, like October or something. It's crazy. Yeah,
I have no idea what to expect from it.
Cautiously excited.
Yeah, right. The problem is we're used to I don't think you play that much, Brian, but we've played I've played 6 or 7 Yakuza games now. So I have even though it's Japanese, I've got character voices, like their voices, they use the same voice actors, so I got character voices is like stuck in my head. So it's like anything changing, I guess, like any video game, I guess ain't that different from any video game adaptation.
Only thing I'm curious, because obviously they'll have to use Kiryu, but I wonder if they could do a Yakuza story but not have it focused on Kiryu but have him be in the world or something, be like a...
They can't launch a movie IP like that and not have the titular character. I think that'd be
I wouldn't think they would. And like they talked a lot about how he worked so hard. The guy, the actor that's playing him, worked so hard to get into the shape. And they talked about how much time it took to put his fake tattoo on his back and stuff. So, I mean, obviously, he's going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, like, Kiryu's a beast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I have played enough of Yakuza 0 to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
what's cool about him. What's cool about him is, since I had the Yakuza podcast, we got to talk about Anthem. But I always like Kiryu because he's not cocky, but he says things that would sound cocky from other people, but he's just speaking fact. He says things as a matter of fact, but it would sound cocky if somebody else was saying it. You know, there's like, it's like every time I start a new Yakuza game, like an hour in, he's cranking out one of these lines. And I was like, this is what I play Yakuza for. This is ridiculous. Like, I love this guy. And he's like, you know, so I'm curious about the new character Ichiban, how the game's style shifts to a whole different protagonist in Like a Dragon. But anyway, this is not the freaking Yakuza Like a Dragon podcast. We did one of those podcasts we did that we covered three games. I did a long title as a joke in Japanese, and nobody appreciated that. I got that one of the episode title is in Japanese, and I think it, I forget what it says, but it was funny, and nobody cared.
Bless our hearts.
But we haven't done another Yakuza episode, because doing Yakuza episodes are daunting, because the games are so huge. There's no reason we should have crammed three games into one episode.
Well, the reason we did that one of them was a 100-hour game.
Zero is 100. Now, the games do kind of get, well, they get shorter for a second, and then they get long again. Because, like, the way the franchise works is weird, because Zero is, like, the last, technically, before the new batch is out. Zero was the newest game. So that they had all the craziness was in Zero. So Zero was over 100 hours long. And you go back and play Yakuza 1, and it's like
20 hours.
15, 20 hours. Because it's really, it was a PS2 game forever ago. So it's weird if you played to the franchise. But they build back up again. That was like 1 and 2 are really short. And then 3, 4, and 5, they get longer and longer. But
they're
again.
Still like, they're 60 hours or less.
Yeah, 60 hours. No, nothing's as long as Zero was. But so if Zero's daunting, if anybody who's curious about the franchise, and stop posting on Reddit about what's the order I should play Yakuza. They're numbered. Start with Zero.
at Zero.
Zero to six are numbered, and then you can jump in. There's the side games later. Again, we got to get out of the Yakuza field.
It'll be perfect for my Xbox handheld gaming console.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the game's gorgeous and very cinematic. You might need it on a bigger screen.
Maybe it's going to be OLED, though.
Ooh. God, it has to be. Maybe Microsoft will put out something fancy. They got to put out competition for it. It'll have to compete with the Steam Deck and the ROG Ally. So
yeah, and the Steam Deck's already got an OLED model. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God's gift to mankind. The
really
Switch.
Say, don't forget the Switch.
Even the Switch is forgetting the Switch.
It's God's gift to mankind.
But the Switch has
mankind.
An OLED version too.
So. Yeah, I got one of those. I don't really see the difference. I don't know. I don't really play it enough, I guess.
All right, so the game we're talking about today,
we were way off topic. Yeah, it's a big developer, too. I already told Blake before we started, we cannot spend an entire night talking about just the developer for this game, because it's a man.
The game that we're talking about, as you guys probably remember, we've said it a couple times, but the game we're talking about is Anthem. Is developed by BioWare. Yes, BioWare. I have quite a little bit to say about them, and I'll go through.
Pretty good. So again, not right. This is like, is this BioWare post like the two heads leaving?
Yes,
because they both dipped out around Mass Effect 3. Probably I
after
think it
Mass
was Mass Effect 3 was the
after I think it did.
Yeah, a part of Mass Effect 3 was like there was like two dudes. Now not the two dudes. Well, two dudes kind of did make that company and made them
Ray
who they
and
were.
Greg.
Something like that, yeah. They were both, they're the, like the dudes, like the pivotal parts of what made BioWare. So I don't think they were involved with Anthem. Not that it would have saved Anthem. I think EA was planning to kill Anthem no matter what, it seems like.
All right, so BioWare, the main company is based out in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And it was founded in 1995. And the closest data that I could find was as of 2019, they have 320 employees spread across several divisions. Now, those divisions shrink and grow kind of rapidly. But just real quick, there was, and currently still is, BioWare Austin. And then there was, besides their, it's BioWare Austin and then BioWare Edmonton. There used to be BioWare Montreal, BioWare San Francisco, BioWare Mythic, Victory Games, Waystone Games, and BioWare Sacramento. And of all those, let's see here. Austin is still standing. Montreal was dissolved in 2017. It got merged into another studio. San Francisco was closed down in 2013. Mythic was closed down, was renamed in 2012, and then closed down completely in 2014. Victory Games was dissolved in October 2013. Waystone Games was put together to create one game. They then canceled that game and canceled the studio in 2014. And Sacramento was renamed BioWare Sacramento in 2011 and then renamed EA Capital Games in 2014. And that still exists, but is an EA-controlled thing as opposed to a BioWare-controlled thing. So the only one that's really still standing is BioWare Austin.
And most, if not all, of those sad occurrences are a direct result of EA and their shenanigans. I
can't believe they've made... The EA doesn't own BioWare, do they?
Yeah, EA acquired them in the... When did they?
Did they acquire? It's like, I said, why would they maintain a relationship with EA at this for this long?
They've been owned by EA since 2007.
Really? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, why would they? Why do you put up with this, man?
No, and that's, and you can. It's a direct. That's what I'm saying. It's a direct result. They get owned in 2007, and then all this stuff pops off, and it's because of bad decisions driven by people who want money and not quality games. They just want more and more money for shareholders. And yeah, it's a whole thing. That's why people are getting laid off now, because shareholders are never happy. Yeah. You can make, you know, X amount of millions, but unless it was whatever magical goal they had in their head, they're never going to be happy.
Yeah, that's why you see those. That's why you see those announcements sometimes. Games like, or was like more recently was like, maybe both the Final Fantasies are both like pretty good selling. I think even 16 was like record sales, but it's like not quite enough according to Square.
Yeah, they call it a disappointment.
Like, yeah, like you, like it's what? Like it's like one of your bigger things, you know. Like, what are y'all talking about? And I bet that's because, like you said, the shareholders,
the investors,
or anything like that. Yeah, are just like, yeah,
and investors never like, happy, man.
No, because they want like 200% of their
investment
of in the,
yeah,
investment.
So I made 110% back, yeah, but I wanted 270% back.
That's not how that works.
Well, they know that, but then they know what they're doing. That's why they're millionaires.
Yeah. Well, they've, you know, that or daddy was a millionaire.
That's the thing, they don't care, they just want more money in their pockets. They're not worried about the product.
Just BioWare was a part of me, even now, people acquiring, between Microsoft buying basically everybody and then even Sony. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of how Sony handles business, but even Sony would be better than EA, you know.
Yeah, there's almost BioWare, nothing worse.
BioWare would be it'd be a whole different place right now if it wasn't owned by EA.
The only thing worse than EA would be the Embracer Group. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
You edited the podcast where Blake hadn't heard of Embracer Group before. I told him that Embracer's a dirty word, man.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too far off topic, now BioWare has developed numerous games. My total count that I did was they've made 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
I've had three that were canceled.
Not bad.
That's not actually not bad at all.
Good record.
Yeah, the very first game they ever put out was on the MS-DOS back in 1996, and it was called Shattered Steel. And it's a game that's very similar to in gameplay to the MechWarrior series. Mm. It consisted of 5 planets, 5 worlds, and 20 missions. And you played as a bipedal walker / runner, and you just went through as like a mech mission.
I mean, in theory, that sounds really cool.
It does sound
pretty
cool. Gosh,
I bet that looked so horrible. MS-DOS.
But it
said that
it was cool because it had, even back in 1996, it had, deformable terrain. Like if you shot some cliffs, the cliffs and stuff would crumble. Jeez. And be deformed.
Can't even do that now, barely.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a feature in the game for that to happen now.
Yeah, that's still a big deal. That just shows you how ahead they were then.
And they, like I said, we can kind of briefly talk about some of the games that they've made.
We say briefly, but for decades they put out hits.
Oh yeah,
hit after hit after hit. I mean,
so I just kind of ramble them off, as you know, and we'll talk about them. So they are responsible for the Dragon Age franchise, the Dragon Age series, Dragon Age 1, 2, 3, 4, Well, Dragon Age 2, then Inquisition, and then whatever 4 is.
Dreadwolf.
And then Mass Effect 1, 2, 3, and Andromeda. Jade Empire, their best game ever.
Yeah, crazy there hadn't been more Jade Empire.
I am shocked. You ever played Jade Empire?
Yeah, and that's when people call, like periodically people bring it up and say, this is the series, this is the franchise
that needs to come back. This needs to come back.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, how do you have four, about to have they're working on a fifth Mass Effect and like a, you said a fourth or fifth Dragon Age, you can't crank out another Jade Empire? Come on.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you have, they're responsible for KOTOR 1 and KOTOR Online. And that's mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic. They didn't have anything to do with 2, but that was Obsidian. Obsidian yes. did KOTOR 2.
Yep.
As some, well
some,
as...
Some people say 2. I didn't really play 2. I played through 1 way back in the day on the first Xbox. Some people say 2 is actually better, but I think it's a matter of whichever one you happen to play first, I guess. I've heard mixed stuff on both of them.
And then we've spoken about BioWare kind of briefly too, is when we did the episode, I think it was 105, we did Grounded. BioWare is responsible for Grounded.
No, that's Obsidian.
That's Obsidian? Okay, that's why the notes in there. My bad. I thought I'm stupid.
I don't know what BioWare is doing now besides, we'll come up to their current stuff, but some of their older stuff, because they did a lot of stuff before.
One of their other biggest things, I didn't avoid it on purpose, but I just kind of forgot about it. But some of their earlier stuff, the two big ones is Baldur's Gate 1, yeah. And then D&D, is it D&D? Or it's Neverwinter Nights, mm-hmm. And they're responsible for like at least the starts. And then other people took over the sequels.
I bet there's tons of people going back and playing Baldur's Gate now because of Baldur's Gate 3. Now they weren't involved. They didn't do Baldur's Gate 3, of course, but that's Larian, Larian Studios. But I bet a lot of people now are going backwards to see where the franchise came from. I bet 3 and 1. Did they not do 2? Did they do Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 or just
1? I just see Baldur's Gate 1 and Neverwinter Nights.
Okay.
I thought
they did 1 and 2, but I guess. But I bet those games aren't even comparable at this point because Baldur's Gate 3 is so freaking huge.
They also did Sonic Chronicles, The Dark Brotherhood for Nintendo DS.
We have a copy of that, and people say it's like one of the freaking coolest Sonic games that ever came. It's like a turn-based RPG, of course, but they say for BioWare fashion, it's supposed to be like the writing is like legit. Like, this is like one of the coolest Sonic games. We have a copy. Does that even freaking blade it? Like, sitting in a freaking drawer in my room.
That's like the only RPG entry.
And that's it.
Yeah, and Sonic, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I need to play that. It'll be on the podcast one of these years. Kind of whip it out sometime.
But besides doing that stuff, like I said, BioWare has always been pushing the envelope forward.
For storytelling.
As well as that, from 1998 to 2001, they're one of the few companies that had developed in-house engines for multiple games and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like I said, just kind of briefly, their earliest one was called the Infinity Engine, and it was created for Baldur's Gate and the Neverwinter Nights. So it was like the 2D, really awesome engine.
Yeah, PC RPGs.
And they would give that over to Black Isle, who eventually became Obsidian. Mm-hmm. And then the enhanced version of the Infinity Engine is called the Aurora Engine. And then that would go on to do Neverwinter Nights, its expansions, and allowed them to do full 3D environments, lights, shadow, and surround sound. And then it kind of just keeps upgrading and building on itself. After the Aurora engine, there's something called the Electron engine. And that was for Neverwinter Nights 2, its 3 expansions, as well as, this is kind of cool, CD Projekt Red used the Electron engine when they did Witcher 1.
No, that's cool.
That's the same. Oh. They used the same engine, which is kind of cool. And then some of their bigger big boys, the KOTOR, Jade Empire, and KOTOR 2, use the Odyssey engine, which all these are just the next upgraded version. And then after the Odyssey engine, they had two separate engines. One's called the Lycium, and that was Dragon Age 2. No, hold on. No, it was the Esculper. Esculper.
I didn't know they used in-house engine.
Okay. They used Esculper, and that was for Dragon Age Origins. And then the evolved version of that was the Lycium, and that was Dragon Age 2. But then they started using Unreal 3 for the Mass Effects. Every Mass Effect uses Unreal 3.
Yeah, because that Mass Effect has tons of drop-in.
Yeah.
And then, this was an EA decision, though,
yeah.
Is as of 2013, any game published by EA will use DICE's Frostbite engine. period.
Yeah, that's right. Mass Effect 3, I think.
I think so.
Use Frostbite.
But it's anything owned by EA will use the Frostbite engine because I think it'll streamline the process.
That's because they own Frostbite and don't want to pay the licensing fees.
Yeah, once again, it's a financial decision, not based on anything other than financials.
I don't even know if Frostbite, because you first bought Frostbite with Battlefield games and then some of the bad companies, stuff like that. I've never really seen anything too impressive for me with Frostbite. I don't know.
But one last thing, one of the cool things is, because there's some weird thing, is that Obsidian still owns partial rights to the Aurora engine, and they actually
kept it alive.
No, Obsidian. Oh. Obsidian still owns partial rights to the Aurora engine from whatever deal they made back in the day.
Oh, okay.
And so they did an upgraded engine, and they actually used that engine in Grounded. And it's now, they now called it the Beam Dog engine, and that was in 2012. But its core construct is the Aurora engine. They just built upon it.
That's crazy.
And they use the same core engine.
And we mentioned it a couple of times in the podcast. Having your own in-house engine is incredibly rare.
Oh yeah,
it's very uncommon. It's so much.
It's just so labor and cost intensive, and very, you got to be your own troubleshooter. So.
Yeah,
but like I said, BioWare, I mean, they, besides being ruined by EA, like ruined by EA.
Yeah. Well, we'll get it. That's one of the big things. I mean, we're gonna talk about Anthem's gameplay and stuff, but one of the big things about Anthem is EA killing Anthem.
Yeah.
Before it ever had a chance to live.
Yeah, the game was out a couple of months and they're like, nah, we're shutting this stuff down, you know. What about anything now? Is it really just Dreadwolf? Do you see anything besides Dreadwolf?
The newest things, well, they worked on it was cool. They worked on and updated. They even included additional content and writing and updated writing in the Mass Effect Legendary Editions.
Oh, yeah.
They actually revamped it and added new extra stuff that didn't exist before.
Yeah. I just don't think I could. I dedicated, like, what, 6-7 years of my life to Mass Effect Trilogy. I couldn't do it again.
But the Legendary Edition.
Not for that ending, for sure.
But they're working on two things, and it says, it just says TBA for both of them, but it's Dragon Age Dreadwolf and then new Mass Effect.
Yeah, they got to pick up the pieces of Andromeda, which I've heard recently now that, like, after the fact, that Andromeda is really not that bad. Like, it launched in a poor state and everybody hated on it, but now people are playing it and they're like, it's not that bad. I mean, it's just another Mass
Effect. Give it a chance to get on its feet and don't put out a broken game.
Yeah.
That's all EA does, is they put out broken games and they wonder why shit doesn't work. Sorry, crap doesn't work.
Yeah. I'll probably keep telling myself, because it's on game, because the EA thing's on Game Pass. I was like, I should install Andromeda sometime. I feel like a space shooty game, I guess. I just haven't
done it. Try it. Maybe not even use a guide, just play through and have fun.
Starfield. Let's just play Starfield. Yeah, Starfield will eat that up probably. I haven't even started that. I won't even play Starfield. Here we go. I'm going to branch off again. Tangent. I'm not even playing Starfield until, one, it's patched all the way up, and two, all the DLC is out, because God knows there's going to be DLC.
Yeah, wait till that Shattered, I think it's called Shattered Space. Is there a big one that's going to be, maybe I'm right. Maybe. I don't remember.
That's
the one where they're going to have land vehicles introduced for planetary travel. Wait on that. It'll be way better than the jump packs we're using right now.
So I
haven't played Starfield at all. So,
that about covers it for me for the BioWare, at least, you know, for everything to now.
What's kind of your history with BioWare, Brian? What games have you played over the years?
All of the above, man. I started way back when. I did not know anything about that Shattered Steel game. I didn't know anything about that, but I actually played Baldur's Gate, the original one, back in the day, and I've played Mass Effects. I've played at least two of the Dragon Ages.
Yeah. We love Dragon Age 1. Yeah. Dragon Age 1 was the jam.
KOTOR, the original, I don't know how many hundreds of hours I put into that one on my original Xbox with my Duke controller. That was the stuff back then.
He's the one of the Mad Cats.
It could be worse, right?
Yeah, KOTOR, man. That's still, and it, KOTOR is coming out again, sort of. It's been re-released, but they're not really involved. They got somebody else handling a remaster. They've outsourced.
They're supposed to be good. They're supposed to have a pretty good, I forget the name of the people that are doing it, but they're supposed to have a pretty good track record for going back and staying true to original subject matter and that kind of thing. So
I hope it gets off of the talk was it's freaking just launching on just the Switch. I was like, don't do that to us. Don't do a remaster of a game like that and put it just on Switch. What are you, insane?
Yeah, that's, if you want it to die, that's perfect.
Yeah,
because why this 15-year-old game like not run well on the Switch?
Yeah, it's more than 15 years, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
But not only that,
Xbox, you know,
It'll come out and it'll look like it was still on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Because have you seen those like side by side comparisons of like Mortal Kombat 1?
Yeah, that's how old we are. We played KOTOR when it came out.
And I was in college when I played it.
Golly. Any particular favorites across the years? Like we were big. I loved Mass Effect 1 and 2. 3 burned me like it burned the whole world pretty much. And
Origins was.
And Dragon Age Origins. I feel like it's cliche to say those are the highlights. I didn't like Dragon Age 2. I didn't beat Dragon Age 2. I bored to tears with Dragon Age Inquisition, you know? So I don't know. And then of course we get to Anthem eventually.
Man, my highlight will always be KOTOR. Mm-hmm. But then I guess out of Mass Effect, I really liked 1. 2 was okay. 3, yeah, meh. And I never have played Andromeda.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to. I think it'd be just.
I'd probably play once we have some like more grounded information on Mass Effect 5, whatever it's going to be called. I think I might kind of feel like you want to play Andromeda to kind of see how the game, because I doubt they'll treat Andromeda like it never existed. I bet there'll be something in there.
They're not going to drop it out of the canon.
No, they put too much time and effort into it. They'll try to like whatever fan favorites were, bring one character back at least.
Well, really, we go from Inquisition to
Dreadwolf.
Anthem.
Well, I think
and
so.
Then Dreadwolf. That's huge, huge gaps in development. Are they still doing KOTOR Online?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Did you play that one at all, Brian? You play KOTOR Online?
Nope.
No, we didn't either. It was crazy. They just put out and maintained an MMO for years. I don't know if it's still going or not, though.
Now, I wonder what EA has them working on. Because, you know, since they don't get their own free reign, you know they're doing support for something. Oh, one of EA's properties. They're developing freaking, something.
They're half developing backgrounds on Battlefield or something. One of their main franchises or something crappy like that.
Well, right here they had, KOTOR Online, it still says
ongoing,
active, yeah, it says still going, present.
It's gotta be popular, making money, or EA would shut it down.
Yeah, if it wasn't making money, it'd be dead.
Okay, although it's not officially disclosed, but based off estimates and other people like guessing, it is the most developmentally expansive game ever made, including over. It at one point had 1 million subscribers within 3 days of its launch.
Good gosh.
And then...
That's just the KOTOR name itself, not even talking about what the game's about.
Yeah, it's true.
KOTOR name would have done it all on its own.
As of October 2019, EA announced that the Old Republic was closing in on $1 billion lifetime revenue, making it officially the most successful based thing they've developed, considering it only had a $200 million development budget. And so as of 2019, it was closing in on $1 billion.
That's a good return.
Yeah. And it's still going. So they're going to keep it. And it only keeps growing because you got to think it's KOTOR. So I'm sure they're adding in, at the very least, Mandalorian skins. And then now you have that Acolyte show and then the Ahsoka show. They're adding all sorts of, at the very least, cosmetics and crap.
Who knows if it's a microtransaction game? I don't know.
It's an online game.
I'm sure it probably has them, but I just don't know. I don't know the gameplay or nothing.
But after, because they did Mass Effect 3, and then back to back to back had 3 canceled games. Because Mass Effect came out in 2012. And in 2013, Warhammer Online was canceled in March. October 2013, Command & Conquer Generals 2 was canceled. Then they put out Dragon Age Inquisition in 2014. And in 2015, something called Shadow Realms was canceled. And in 2017, they put out Mass Effect Andromeda.
I think I remember hearing about Shadow Realms. The Warhammer game and the other one, I never heard of those.
It goes in, Andromeda was 2017, Anthem 2019, and then the Mass Effect Legendary Edition was 21, and then Dreadwolf and Mass Effect are 5 or 2 TBA.
They need to do, I know Anthem was their chance to do something new, but the poor guys, they need to do something new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jade Empire, man. Seriously, just do Jade Empire.
Jade Empire 2. What's so hard about Jade Empire 2?
It'd be so different and unique.
Or even remake it or something, you know, do something with it.
A remaster would be wildly popular, and then you could hit them with 2, and you'd be printing money at that point, you'd think.
Because if Dreadwolf doesn't make any headway, that'll kill the Dragon Age franchise. I mean, barely survived Dragon Age 2. People like Inquisition. I didn't like Inquisition. People liked it enough to save the franchise. But I think if Dreadwolf doesn't do something, I think we'd see the end of the Dragon Age franchise probably.
Or at least a pause.
I mean, it's crazy. You see stuff like you think EA would kill them between Andromeda and Dragon Age 2. You would just about, I'm sorry, they didn't close the freaking company at that point.
But didn't, speaking of a stupid EA ruining things, didn't EA do some stupid forced multiplayer crap?
Mass Effect 3.
Was it 3 or 2?
3.
It was 3.
They had the ongoing war thing in the background.
That didn't really matter.
We didn't do anything. They also patched it out later, apparently.
Oh, they did?
They patched in. They patched in that you can do the stuff with that. You get the long line was still there, but they patched in another way to get the stuff to do it without playing online.
Oh, there you go. Because I'm sure not enough people were playing it anymore. Because I think we tried it and it was kind of cool, but you're like, at the end of the day, this is just worthless because I can get most of this stuff in game by just playing the game.
Yeah.
But now I think it's time to talk about the game. Anthem.
Him.
So Anthem is a third-person action-adventure role-playing? Yeah. Kind of.
So they'd have you believe.
Multiplayer game. So you play as a dude.
Sexist.
Or a girl. You play as anyone.
All these years, BioWare spends trying to be pro everything. And now all of a sudden, Anthem, you got to play as a dude.
Yeah, I didn't think that was kind of funny and weird.
I don't care about it. I'm an average white guy. They don't offend me.
The game came out to mixed reviews, like yeah. It really did. But the one thing that everybody and their mom agrees on, the opening, fun. Just a phenomenal like, prologue, and then like chapter one of the game is really
after the prologue mission, nothing like that in the game ever happens again
until never the last again. Mission.
Yeah. Yeah, to maybe like the last mission, like the cinematic nature, the bioawareness of the opening, it never happens. It's just the game, just like, nah, we're not doing that no more.
I mean, you can just see where the support fell off. You know, they had such a good start and they had the foundation and then just got tanked from the go.
Mm-hmm.
And like once after that opening, you come back and, you know, like there's a big time jump. And you're what's called a freelancer, which you're a gentleman or an individual who pilots these little mech suits called javelins. Mm-hmm. And you have four classes. There is the Ranger, the Colossus, the Interceptor, and the Storm. And they all kind of go along with like certain RPG things. Mm-hmm. You got the Ranger, who is like your all around kind of gunner. Your Colossus, which is your tank. Your Interceptor, which is your rogue. And the Storm, which is your mage. I spent the like eventually, if you play long enough, you can unlock every mech. But at the beginning of the game, you pick one and you're stuck with it for a long
time. Like every like 5 or 10 levels, you can unlock another one, something like that.
Yeah, and I played with all of them, but I majority of the time stayed as the Storm. I
started with the. With the regular javelin. I think I ended up landing on that big one, man. The big one had like the best weapons.
Had some really cool. I
was the Interceptor. I think I went the Interceptor.
You like the little blades and slashing at folk.
Yeah. They're all cool. They all got their own little different parts to them. I think I ended up landing on the Colossus guy. The Gatling guns and stuff. Man.
That was also when we could have four weapons equipped. You had your bumpers and then your actual triggers. And you could do that with everything too, but for my mage, it was like, ooh, I would cast my ultimate with one hand, and the other one was like a rapid fire, like ice bullets, and then my offhand.
Yeah.
But you had full use of all four. You could hit all four and just like, you know, mm-hmm. just unleash hell. Yeah.
So one of the main places you hang out is the little, what's the little hub town called?
Fort Tarsus.
Fort Tarsus. And that's where you would, normally it's like any other BioWare game, like the Dragon Ages that have a camp or the Mass Effect where you have the Normandy or something like that. It's the place you go to, like, it's where, well, there's a lot of talking in the field, I guess, too. This is where you meet people and have your conversations
and form relationships,
but there's no depth to it like there is in the Mass Effect or Dragon. There's no, like,
well, there's some depth because there are storylines and stuff.
You're not making decisions on characters and changing the plot. It's not that kind of BioWare game.
And there's no romance. Absolutely not romantic. Yeah,
no romance at all. It's a loveless game.
But for so many reasons.
The factions are all people who are a former part of your military. You have the Sentinels, the Corvus, the Cyphers, and then the Arcanists. Each one has a different role that they play for the world building. You know, ciphers were these people who could detect. Well, the main thing, the core thing of the game is you're on this planet and you're because you're following this thing called the whole point of the game is called the Anthem of Creation. It's this song that exists in the universe that's basically supposed, according to the ciphers, it's a song from the great deity. And it's the song is just everlasting and it's just going out into like, it's, you know, space is infinite. It just goes on forever and it's constantly creating things in its wake. And you found a place that was emanating with it. And you're supposed to try to harvest this Anthem of Creation to create more worlds, more life. Yeah,
it's confusing.
Like there's a massive amount of it's really cool because there's a really good story there. Mm-hmm. Like there's a great world building. BioWare is phenomenal.
What they're known for.
The only problem is it gets to a point sometimes. The whole game is 100% voice acted. The voice, as far as I can remember, is voice acted really well. But then it gets to a point where it's just verbal diarrhea. It's just people going, hey, 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 exposition, 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 exposition. And I'm just like, man, do you have a personality? What is going on here? And it gets to a point where you just don't want to listen to him anymore.
Yeah. Just talking.
And they just talk. And they don't talk to you, they're talking at you. Like your character is just like,
I don't know if you even.
I'm like, yeah, you just, yeah, it's just
he responds.
It was just like a continue it, or something like that. Like you said, yeah. There's no choices. There's no dialogue choices you can make. They're going to alter what has to happen. You just have to click through and get through what they're going to spew at you.
And say, I can't tell you a single character's name. Not a single person.
I can't either.
And when even
most of them are just telling you little bits about the world, and then they're feeding you your checklist of quests to go do. And that's, I think we'll get into like that's where the game got a lot of hate for is mission structure and mission variety.
There are a total of three different types of missions.
It's not a lot.
Yeah, he only said three. That's right. He Trace. Only said three.
Un, deux, trois. Yeah. Menage a trois for the. You have critical objectives, which were the main story.
Yeah. And never as cool as never as good as the opening.
Never.
It's just more talking during these.
And then you have agent quests, which were side quests given to you by the factions in the facility. Yeah. Depending on how you get relationships and stuff with them, the higher it is, they would give you more missions. And then that was the agent quests. And then you have agent contracts, which were a smaller reward and mission given to you from doing in between the agent quests. So it was like agent quests, then like 15, like not 15, but like two or three contracts, and then agent quests. And then in each one agent quest you did was like a bolster up in the faction.
I remember we struggled a bit because this game does build itself around being multiplayer. So, but I think it was really funky about tracking everybody's quest progress. What was the problem we had with that? I can't remember. I know it was like
for what?
And like it was, remember, like we'd have like, remember we, me and Brian would do like a quest, and when the next night we would play, and you had your quest, even though you were there, your quest wasn't checked off, so we had to go
had
like to redo a quest again.
That's what we figured out. Was you had the dialogue. If you didn't talk to certain people and you didn't progress through certain dialogue choices, regardless of the fact that you'd done the quest once or even twice, until you talked to those people, it was not available for you. And so we'd have to go back and do it a third or a fourth time.
Because we got to the point that we would do a mission, come back to base, and all of us would make sure we talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Skipping every, pretty much by the end.
It took us a while. I forgot. It took us a couple of sittings to figure that out. But it was lots of days we were scrolling through our thing, everybody's little list of missions, like, this one's checked off for me, not for me. Okay, let's do it again.
We were taking notes. At one point, we were writing, down paper notes. Yeah. Notes of missions, trying to figure out what is going on.
Well, that's something that might have been, I bet they might have been revamping that. We'll talk more about their plans before the game got killed, but they're going to revamp loot. They're going to revamp loot, which I would have loved to have seen what they were doing, and I would hope they would revamp mission structure a little bit. Or better tracking
the map for Fort Tarsus. If only they could revamp the map for
Fort Tarsus. The map was worthless. It was worthless. Yeah. Granted, thankfully Fort Tarsus wasn't big enough. Like, I mean, it was bigger than like the Normandy, and probably maybe a little bigger than any of your Dragon Age camps. Well, the Dragon Age 3 little thing was kind of big, but I mean, at least Fort Tarsus wasn't the castle you get in Dragon Age.
And you could expand it. You don't really expand
Port Tarsus is Tarsus insane. The whole game.
You open a gate at one point yeah. to make it into a different people. Section.
Yeah, but at least it's not that big. But still, sometimes you have somebody marked on your map and you couldn't figure how to get to them even by looking at the map.
It did have some verticality, and you weren't sure.
Some stairs or something like that.
Maybe on a different level, and the level would be right behind you, but you had to go like three blocks down, two blocks over, then back up
some stairs, down a hallway. Yeah.
And the good thing about the game is it's weird how it put out. Because you think BioWare, you think massive game to dig, you know, that's going to be 60 hours, 80 hours, because KOTORs and all them, they're long games. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking here, and I compared it to my TA as well to double check. But it says that if you focus on strictly just the main story, you can get through the entirety of Anthem in about 14 hours. But if you're a completionist and you want to do everything, you can tend to knock it out in about 50 to 60.
So my thing, we did beat the story, which we'll get into. As my whole total time for, according to TA, 17 hours and 53 minutes. And that's playing. And we wanted to do it all. We clicked on every little mission that popped up. We talked to all the people and we did all the little missions, and that's 17 hours, you know.
Yeah, mine says 21 hours and 58 minutes.
33% of the achievements, that we were not unlocking achievements.
I got 12, yeah, because there's a lot of them that looks like it says like, some of them are challenge based, like use this mech, use this exosuit, and you do this challenge. Because there's like handgun challenge,
I didn't know, assault rifle challenge. All the challenges. I got some completing some people's stories I didn't get apparently.
We're going back to Anthem, everybody.
Nah, there's too many. Majority of these achievements are freaking challenges, which would be just farming out each freaking gun type. I'm not doing that, but anyway, 17 hours to like for us to
beat it.
To generally like try, we were playing through it to experience the game. So that's not 17. That's short for a BioWare game, that's for sure.
Yeah, but for sure.
What it was supposed to be, what the game was supposed to be though, was it supposed to be live service? I don't know if they were going for live service for Anthem. Was that the plan?
I don't know, but I have a thing here that okay. So the game came out February 22nd, 2019. And then they ceased development on it in February of 2021. So only had 2 years.
Still a lot of time, though.
Yeah, it seems like I didn't realize they had that much time.
2 years, yeah.
It says right here, this is a quote that says that 4 years into the development cycle, the developments expressed massive concern that Anthem was nowhere close to the final production stages that they had spoken about in their internal meetings. Yeah. And it said it faced similar issues with poor management of the project that happened in similar cases such as Dragon Age Inquisition and Mass Effect Andromeda. As what happened is the decision makers, the people who were responsible for making decisions, made very few concrete decisions. Mm-hmm. Everything was like, oh, we'll see. Let's see how this goes. Let's see how this goes. Oh, I don't know. And they were so wishy-washy about just putting their foot down. It's like, we're going to do this. But they were testing the waters and changing stuff constantly based off like user polls and internet. And people don't care about this. Go ahead and drop that and start working on this. People care about this. And they were just following other games. And they didn't have an actual vision for what they wanted for the game.
You can see that a bit. Though Anthem does feel like a complete game, like gameplay wise and some of the mechanics and stuff like that, about it does, it's missing something. Like I don't really know what. I don't know because like we talk about how the graphics and stuff, like the game looks still now, even looks
the game was beautiful, the
game looks incredible. We'll have to spend a couple minutes talking about, people always had to rave about the control of the javelins. It's perfect. Like something,
it's
about great.
It's amazing.
Like, I was never flying in a javelin, where I never had any problem flying where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
No,
like you have, like somehow the way they worked out the controls and the feeling, like that is so good that it should be like BioWare should hold on to that code and put it into another game, because like it's so
Iron Man. So the next people that put out an Iron Man game need that. Just copy it over.
Yeah, there's no reason not to. That's no reason. Like
they could take this exact same story. Or not exact, but this exact same, I have right here notes for my personal opinion, but the perfect thing they could do is two perfectly games that could run the way this system works with the locomotion of your character. Because we didn't even mention, because you do three terrains. You got land, air, and water, and it is seamless.
Oh, man. Nothing like flying down and like diving flying into water. Yeah, it's so smooth. Yeah.
Like, I will praise and praise to the high heavens of whomever is listening about the locomotion and playability of the game. Mm-hmm. Now, the missions and stuff repeated very often, and you were constantly
Flying to the next pile of enemies to shoot, and fly to this next pile of enemies to shoot. But the flying, getting there, was always
high point. Amazing.
Yeah, and the map was beautiful yet generic. Like, you were never like, you fly around, like, everything looks like it's so pretty, but you're never like, it's not that many, like, really the landmarks are like junky factories and other random stuff like that. You're not really finding anything super. I wasn't flying around like, ooh, I want to, it's not like an RPG where I'm walking around like, ooh, I want to go in those ruins. Something about, I think we talked about it, something about flying, like flying through the map. I never wanted to, like, you're looking down.
Yeah, and let me land and look at
me
stuff.
Go no, land. I want to fly. You know, I don't want to be on the ground. There's like no point in the game where you're like walking around exploring something. Like, you're always in the air as soon as possible.
And it was cool because you sprint, run, and like double tap. You just double tapped A to jump, and it's
just there you go.
You occasionally, one thing that was dumb. Occasionally, you had to land to let your boosters.
You overheat, but you could fly through water. Over water and through waterfalls will cool you down. So that was fun too.
Yeah,
I did like that. But the two things that I think would be perfect was they could do, like you said, you already said that you could do an Iron Man game, but do like the Armor Wars storyline and do all the different mocks and all the different Hulkbusters and every different version, because there's so many different versions, but they have similar locomotions, kind of break it down. Or for me, it's because I'm a huge fan of it, but Guyver. Bio-boosted armor Guyver.
Is there ever a flying Guyver?
Nope. Well, there's a bunch of different types, though. Like, you're the only thing you know about is the movie, but the anime and manga, there's multiple different types, and they got different abilities and stuff like that. So that could be, get four different Guyvers and just have an amazing multiplayer Guyver game, and you go kill Zoanoids. Yeah. I would play the heck out of that.
Yeah, it's just crazy that they're not making an Iron Man game. They're making a not BioWare, are they? But somebody EA is making a Star Wars game, and Disney owns Star Wars and Marvel, so why not hand off that Iron Man license? I don't even like Iron Man that much, but I would dabble, because if it that well,
played like a Mandalorian game with this locomotion from Anthem would be awesome. That'd be great. Yeah, would lend itself well to that too.
Golly, that's an easy sell. I actually like Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean,
why not reskin Anthem to be a freaking not even that specific Mandalorian, but like just a general Mandalorian bounty hunter game?
Well, didn't they do that and cancel it? Weren't they supposed to be doing?
There was a Mandalorian game that got canceled. I don't know if it was EA or not, but that's not the point. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, we'd probably just as like, oh, we're playing the Mandalorian game, and all you do is fly places and shoot stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's pretty much all Mandalorians do.
Because everybody praised, and I'll continue to praise the locomotion.
Words don't do it any justice, obviously. Like, we've played a lot of freaking video games. I played a lot of games where you fly and stuff like that, too, and I've never had any flying come anywhere close to any, not even the ballpark. Like, Anthem's flying mechanics are in a league of their own.
Like you said, you always felt in control, and you never felt like you were doing anything that you didn't do intentionally. Yeah, and that's a rare thing, especially when you're talking about verticality.
Even on indoor mat, those indoor caves and indoor buildings, and like you can fly and you can hover and fly, and you're always
clicking the stick and it went to hover mode, and you could.
Yeah, I was never like crashing. I was never crashing into stuff and like making a bad turn. Like, you think a game with this much flying, the game is 90% flying, 95% flying, and you were like, you think at some point you're like,
got mad was when we went into one of those no flight zones.
No fly
we got
zones. Grounded.
That was the only
just
time we really got mad.
The stupidest thing to put in that video game. Sorry, you can't fly here. What? What are you That's doing?
All we do is fly. What are you talking?
Yeah, but like I said, everybody praises the locomotion of the game and how it works. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the negative things people talked about was, because like I said, the game is short. If you plow through the game, the 14 hours
for us was a leisure. We took our time.
Yeah,
that's a leisurely 17 hour. We're never rushing to any game we play together.
No. It's like the three biggest complaints was, number one, no post game. People like, the game came out and people beat it day one, and they're like, that's it. Where's the rest of the game? Where's the rest of the game, guys? What are you doing? There was no post game when the game came out, and so people were mad about that. Which I'm okay. I don't like post games in games half the time. I was like, cool. You put out a complete idea.
Well. Look at the way it was, not, that's look at the way the game interest. Was built, though. Oh, yeah. The game was built with multiplayer in mind, obviously. It's very multiplayer-centric, it seems like. And then a bit the way the missions were, people just handing you missions. It's, you would think, yeah, they were...
Yeah, one of the things here I'm reading, it says that
and the loot, of course.
Yeah, I was going to do that. It says right here, it failed because it took so much from its live service peers that it neglected to craft an identity of its own, which in its desperation for all things for all players, it became nothing to no one.
Yeah.
And that's what led to it ultimately being dumb and people not caring. But there is a crappy loot system, and there's like, in order to get really good stuff, there's involved way too much grinding for stuff that didn't matter.
So eventually at some point we started finding these like super weapons. How were we getting those? Was that the end game?
Currency from doing quests and stuff. We were able to buy those awesome weapons.
From the faction guys.
Those were awesome.
Yeah. Those pretty much like changed how we played the game. They were like, oh, we just have these now. Okay. That's all we need.
And the other thing is, we've already spoken about it briefly too, is like, there's three mission types. That's it. Three mission types.
Yeah. I mean, this is the way you get missions. But when it comes to actually doing missions, you're flying somewhere to kill various bandits or there's all kinds of munchers. There's different kinds of wildlife and crap like that too, that look really cool. The disappointing thing was like the opening, there's a big, what are they called? The giant titan. Are they called
titans?
Titans. You see more of those, but they're all smaller the rest of the time you see them.
Well, that one was because that one had been sitting under the Anthem of Creation song, absorbing the energy from it.
I guess you remember
on
why.
Planet.
You see other titans go out, and then you just kind of hover around them and shoot them till they fall like little bullet sponges. But like, it is literally just. What was that? Is there any hacking? Surely there's been some sort of hacking.
Well, yeah, there was the collection ones where you would go in and you'd activate a terminal and you had to pick up those orbs of energy and take them back.
That's
just an excuse to fly around and grab orbs and come back, yeah.
But, of course, the whole time you're shooting enemies, waves of enemies that are coming in. So
Yeah.
Yeah, people.
A couple of escort quests. We had to do a couple of escort quests.
Yeah. See, what sucks is that we can complain. I don't know what other mission types I would want them to do, but like we did want to, like, you want to do more. And I don't know, but like we kind of enjoyed it. I mean, we were never like, ugh, it's time to play Anthem. You know, we turn it on, we chit chat, fly around, shoot some monsters.
We've experienced that with other games, but yeah. No, that wasn't.
Yeah. And this is more fun than like recently. We'll pass over it eventually way later in these episodes. But we recently dabbled in Borderlands 3, and Anthem is, Anthem's boring to some spots. But we quit playing Borderlands 3. We played all the way through Anthem. You know,
yeah.
Borderlands 3 was extremely boring. Like, there was no joy to Borderlands 3. But this is.
Anthem's problem to me was just, and I know this is a generalization, but it was just that nothing mattered. None of those quests mattered. And every once in a while, you would go do the same quest that was almost a carbon copy with like three different lines of dialogue. And they're like, oh, it's a totally new quest. This is new. I mean, I know it's because they stopped working on it, but it was just so, it just didn't matter anymore.
Well, a cool thing to figure as I'm looking at it, kind of like as I'm double checking some stuff, but this dude, Alexander Scraben, he was the EA's global director of social media. All right, so he's not super high up, but he did announce a really cool thing. And he was the director of their social media until 2021. But one of the last things he announced was that even though Anthem got canceled and was put down, it was a financial success because it sold over 5 million copies.
That's crazy to cancel a game that sold 5 million copies. It
sold over 5 million copies.
I think what they call right
before
now.
Before you ever really support it.
Dragon's Dogma 2, I think they just crossed. They just crossed 3, I think. Is that right? I know, Brian, you look sometime. I think Dragon's Dogma just hit some milestone and Capcom's super excited, you know, and you have Anthem sell 5 million. They're like, nah, fuck.
Lifetime sales. It says 5 million across its entire.
5 million is nothing to scoff at all.
But it's one of those things, I think they had already decided to cancel it before it got to that threshold, because they probably decided to cancel it like 6 months or a year beforehand. And they're like, well, okay, well, let's put out some of these final updates. And
if they just supported it,
it could be making some money. They should let it become its own thing instead of trying to.
Million. Dragon's Dogma 2 topped 3 million.
Yeah. And they're excited.
They're celebrating.
Yeah. And they're
celebrating at 3 million, you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know. And they did Antinos 5. Now, what we'll talk about, you talk about the loot system and stuff like that and some of the other mechanics. So
I don't really remember the loot system. I just remember it was kind of blank.
The thing is, a few months before the announcement of cancelization, I know you probably keep track, they had announced loot. We weren't playing Anthem back then, but they did announce loot 2.0, which was a complete revamping of how you get loot, like from the ground up revamp on how you get loot in Anthem. And like, you just, now the game's done, it's gone. We never got it. So it makes you wonder if something like that, if they just let them finish that and let that put out, is something like that, a revamping of something like that, or anything that could save a game.
You know, it was going to be called Anthem Next, was the
Anthem. Yeah, it had a name. Yeah. With loot 2.0. And that's just loot. I bet Anthem Next had other plans. I bet they're revamping lots of stuff, trying to save it. Cause they BioWare, you know, they care about that. There's a lot of lore and a lot of story in that game. We see people just talk and talk and talk at you. They wrote all that. They cared about all this stuff.
And originally, when they put it out, you know, it's supposed to be live services, kind of like a Destiny type situation. Mm-hmm. And they put it out, it was supposed to be like episodic. So you'd have episodes of so and so and so, and it would go mm-hmm. forward with the story and the progression. And then once they canceled that, EA goes, no, we're not doing that. That's too much. And then they just went to like seasonal content. But then people complained because the seasonal content was just like, because they put out one update, like one big episodic update called Cataclysmic something or other. I don't remember.
Cataclysm, maybe.
Cataclysm, maybe, yeah. So, but then the next seasonal update that came out, they basically just rehashed that. They changed a few skins. They put in some different dialogue.
That's because they weren't getting no support, you know, because you can't maintain seasons or episodic content without financial support from your publisher, you know. It's crazy.
Okay, I just read a sentence that doesn't compute for my head.
Mm-hmm.
Despite positive sales achievements, the game failed to meet its commercial expectations.
That's what we talked about earlier in the podcast. Well, yeah. Exactly.
And
it's doing great, but we're going to let it go.
Yeah, because it says right here that
5 million, but we wanted 5 billion. So,
it says right here that BioWare announced in February 2020 that they would be reinventing the core gameplay of Anthem, and they were going to establish a long-term plan.
Yeah.
But then all future development was ceased in February of 2021.
5 million copies. They didn't even get a chance. EA was so busy shitting on them, pardon my language, they probably didn't get a chance to celebrate that kind of
they
success.
Probably never did. They probably never had that launch celebration party that they deserved, you know, for what they did accomplish.
It's crazy.
It's terrible. I feel so bad for those people, man.
Back to like Dragon's Dogma. You see Capcom announcing that they're upping salaries across the board and blah blah blah. Not just because Dragon's Dogma is helping, but between the Dragon's Dogma and Resident Evil and Street Fighter, we're in the golden age of Capcom right now. And they're like, they're busy like, you know, raising everybody's salaries across the board. And EA's like, nah.
One cool thing, part of the because early on, they wanted the game to be successful. This is a cool thing, too.
Everybody wants their game to be successful.
But it says, because this released February 22nd, 2019. On February 14th, 2019, there was a live-action short film / trailer that was a bunch of story that led up to the first mission.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all live-action. It's called Anthem Conviction. And it was actually directed by Neil Blomkamp.
We never watched it. Yeah, we should have watched that.
We should have watched it before.
Probably on YouTube, probably.
Do you know who Neil Blomkamp is?
Yes.
He's pretty cool.
Okay, so he's phenomenal and stuff.
Good like good guy to do an Anthem short.
Yeah. But yeah, then right. They're just like, meh, 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 meh.
Why do we never watch that? We should have watched it if we were on the podcast. It's, not that it matters.
It's got to be out there.
It's got to be on YouTube. Somebody's put it on, because it's only a couple of minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Sad.
It's a game that had such promise, but they didn't give it a chance to flourish because they were so focused.
It's EA's thing, man. I think they've already canceled they've nipped in the bud because Dead Space 1 remake come out and did pretty well. People love it, and they're like, nah, we're not doing 2 and 3.
Yeah, it didn't make enough.
We're not doing 2 and 3. I was like, like, come on.
Successful is not good enough. We need wildly successful.
Yeah. And they don't have any games. Like, it's like they're always, this is like the crap on EA pop. We don't have to. It's like everybody knows EA's chasing what other better companies them accomplish without trying as hard as EA's trying. Like, everybody else has their own smash successes. Activision's a bad company, but they've always had Call of Duty succeed regardless of Activision's
interference
and negative impact on the industry. Like EA has Battlefield is popular. Battlefield's never been in direct. It's the it's a competition with Call of Duty. I get Battlefield never had
Call
of
Duty
numbers. 15
years ago, it was the actual competition.
Yeah.
And then since then, yeah, it's the alternative. Maybe not the competition so much as the alternative.
Yeah, exactly. But they just like they're just chasing this stuff that they work so hard chasing it. They can't just let their creators just. But it's just like create something incredible, and like you just happen. Anthem, who knows if Anthem could have been another Destiny? Like I don't know, chasing Destiny or chasing. I think we mentioned off podcast another developer chasing Overwatch, like just chasing something like that. You're never gonna get that. Stop. Just like let your artists of your game developers
have a
make
unique
something.
Idea.
Just make something. Make There's something not. There matters. Is nothing else like Anthem.
No right.
Like the way it looks and the way the world, like and the mechs of like it could have stood out and been its own thing. And you just like, and, you know, who knows, man?
I mean, just, you know, to quote TLC, man, don't go chasing waterfalls.
Well, you want to chase waterfalls in Anthem. Yeah, unless you're overheating.
If you're overheating, you need to chase that waterfall.
But like the fact that the EA they don't trend set.
They're constantly chasing. Yeah, they're reactionary instead of trying to actually plan and get out there and take a chance. Exactly. They're not going to take a chance unless they're just not going to take a chance. There is no unless. They're never going to take that big risk.
It's a miracle they made a Dead Space remake. I don't know how they did that. They're the ones that dismantled Visceral to begin with.
I do want to shine the light because, you know, on some of the people who were involved with some of the behind the scenes things and just kind of, you know, highlight them. Our director of the game, well, there's, of course, the game, it has four directors. It has an IP director, performance director, executive creative director, and then the overall director, which is a dude named John Warner. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this is the only game he's done, and I don't think EA will probably never let him get another chance.
Or he'll quit. I mean, he'll quit. You get burned like that, you quit. Why do you think the other guys left BioWare?
Exactly.
Right.
And the game, it has seven writers. 1, 2, 3, 4,
a lot of
five,
talk.
6, 7. Yeah. Well, it has six writers, but one of them is the narrative director and then the narrative writer. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them are alums from BioWare.
Oh, really?
So every single one of these people, one of them has worked on every BioWare game.
Wow.
Anthem, Andromeda, KOTOR, Inquisition. Well, not every. This is starting with Inquisition, then KOTOR, Andromeda, and Anthem.
Well, that's not old school, yeah.
And then you have another one here. I should say their names. This Courtney Woods. She worked on Inquisition DLC, KOTOR, Andromeda, and Anthem. Then there's a dude named Jay Wadamack, and he is a weird thing. He only worked on Mass Effect DLC, Mass Effect DLC, and then Andromeda, and he was a lead writer in Anthem.
Yeah, got promoted.
Yeah, and then Kathleen Rosen Rootsatter, and she also only. Okay, she did Mass Effect 2, KOTOR, Mass Effect 3, and Mass Effect 3's DLC, Andromeda, Anthem, and something called Star Wars Squadrons Hunted. It was a short, and she did the story for that.
I played Wars Squadrons. That was pretty good, actually.
Then probably the strangest outlier is you have this guy named Sam Maggs, and he was the narrative, the lead narrative writer and one of the lead writers. But he has the least amount to do with anything. It's his first game. This was his first game. He did Anthem, and then he did Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. Then he did Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance with our Pawafwies. Call of Duty Vanguard, something called Scavengers, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, and Spider-Man 2.
What's Scavengers?
Scavengers was like a PC. I don't know if it ever came out anything not on PC, but it was like an extraction shooter where you'd go in, you had to collect resources, and then you fought other squads and then tried to get out with what you had. But it was like aliens on a different planet, or it might have been Earth. Can't remember.
It's like a loot thing. Yeah. I don't know anything about it, but it does seem to be PC.
Sounds like get in and extract out. It sounds like that hunted game we played.
It's like that, except it was actually fun gameplay.
It was actually fun.
Then right here's a guy who's been here for a long time. His name is Drew Karpyshyn, and he's been around since damn near the beginning. Neverwinter Nights, KOTOR. He wrote the manual for KOTOR.
Literally.
And then he was a writer for Empire, Mass Effect, all the Mass Effect DLC, Mass Effect 2, all of their DLC, KOTOR, Online, rather, and then Anthem, and then Mass Effect Legendary Edition. He had everything to do with 3, which I thought was strange. And then our final guy is a dude named John Dombro, and he's also an outlier. This guy has, like, the biggest credits, because he's also wrote some movies and stuff. And none of them really turned out great, but something called Deadly Swarm, another one called The Hills Run Red, which is, like, a loose, weak version of Hills Have Eyes.
I think I've seen that.
But he did Mass Effect 2 as additional writing. And then he did a DLC for Mass Effect 2 called Overlord. Then a DLC for Mass Effect 3. Actually, 1, 2. He did 3 DLCs for Mass Effect 3. But right here, which is kind of cool, he was a contributing writer to some of the for Bioshock Infinite. And he also wrote Burial at Sea.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then Andromeda, Anthem, and oddly enough, the Game of Thrones Telltale game.
Yeah, I'm not saying the writing in Anthem was bad. There's just a whole lot of talking when you want to be shooting stuff.
The cheaper thing to do, the writing, when you look at it. Like, when you develop the visuals and the concept art and all that stuff, it takes more time, it takes more effort, it takes more people. And I think that the writing side of it and the story development was better funded. Because they probably did that earlier on, you know, and then it's like none of the rest of the game caught up with it or maintained it or
didn't actually have a chance to pace it out properly.
I think what I said, I think me or one of us said even while playing it, is I think the problem was that it was multiplayer.
Yeah.
And you don't want to sit there with 3 of us in a party wanting to shoot stuff. All of us sitting there listening to somebody gab, 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 gab. That's just not what you want to do for a month. So maybe that's a clash of multiplayer and story at the same time. A lot of time we say this a lot when we play, we watch our stream. We're always like, every time somebody's talking or every game we play, we're like, we don't know why we're doing this. We're just killing stuff. We're bad about paying attention to the stories and the games we're playing. But this probably had more story than any other game we've played. But you just get tired of like we kind of like I want to go. We're all, this is our night to stream and our night to play something together, and just sitting here together listening to somebody yap at us, it's just not.
And I wonder, just walls of text, you know. Yeah. I mean, I know it was voice acted, but my gosh,
monologues, monologues,
never ending.
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder if we had played this, if this was developed as a single player game, if the story would have like been as grabbing as like, because I mean, I was invested in Mass Effect and early Dragon Age 1. Like, I wonder if Anthem would have had that kind of impact of like you were really paying attention and really wanted to know what was going on if it had been a single player experience.
Yeah. See, the last person I want to highlight is their composer, because they had, like I said, they had grade A talent behind the scenes, like
BioWare, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, but yeah, like there's no reason it should have failed other than EA. This woman's name is Sarah Schachner, and some of the stuff that she's composed on, she's got some pretty good things under her belt. She has movies and video games, but Assassin's Creed Unity, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, Assassin's Creed Origins, the Discovery Tour of Assassin's Creed Origins, those little...
Oh, really?
I
played all... Jessica's playing Origins right now.
She composed all those little things. I listen
to the music all the time. Got that good of a...
That movie Lazarus Effect with Olivia Wilde and Donald Glover, with like the semi Frankenstein's monster movie, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, and Prey, Predator movie based in like the Mohicans, but
the movie, not the Prey game.
Yeah, the Prey movie.
Okay, the Prey movie. Did you watch the Prey? Different. Did you watch that?
I've seen that movie too. Yeah. I love the game Prey. That was a good. I liked it.
I wanted to, because I like you know Arkane. You know, they're a cool company, and I really wanted to like I don't know why Prey the game just didn't grab me, man. It's like no different from like wandering around like a spaceship, kind of like Dead Space, fighting aliens.
But the coffee cup might come to life and kill you.
Yeah, I know. Had all kinds of things jumping around all over the place. It was a cool game, but I don't know. It just wasn't. I don't know. I always thought about if I should go back to Prey. Apparently, it had a really cool moon crasher or something. Really, a really cool DLC for Prey.
Yeah, and I didn't play that. I haven't played that.
It's supposed to be like a really unique. Like it changes how the game is played or something. Yeah. I think it is like permadeath or semi-permadeath or something like that. Anyway. But I wanted to like Prey.
That just puts it right out of my wheelhouse. I can't handle permadeath.
Well, it might be like a roguelite aspect of the DLC or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, I'm just looking at some stuff that was said by people. It's like there's a dude right here who is, at the E3 of 2017 after they released a formally announced Anthem and then did a 6-minute gameplay trailer premiering it at the in 2017.
I remember seeing those initial gameplay trailers.
This dude, Patrick Soderlund, who was EA's vice president, announced that BioWare had a 10-year plan starting with Anthem and a bunch of other games coming out. But then they canceled all the other games, and then eventually they didn't have a 10-year plan. They had one, but because it wasn't an instant success, they're like, oh, cut the plan.
That plan was written on a napkin.
Yeah. That got wet after the, you know,
it's a napkin that it's a napkin that said Anthem 10-year plan.
But yeah, so they had all sorts of marketing schemes and this, that, and the other, but EA ruins everything they touch.
Oh yeah.
They try their best anyway.
But I'll say it again. I cannot praise the locomotion, the gameplay itself enough.
Yeah. The flying's, but no, the shooting.
Shooting was okay, but it was pretty, like you said, if you got a gun you liked, or you got your, because you had multiple.
I initially tried sniping because I like sniping in shooting games a lot. This is not a sniping game. No, this is like a swarms of enemies. So I ended up switching over to like the heavy armor with the Gatling guns and missile launchers. And it's really fun to like launch like cluster missiles into groups of enemies. It felt really good. You felt powerful in the explosions and the way it all looked.
Well, I loved you being able to throw up my little energy tornadoes, or use my ultimate, which is I click both my bumpers and he would just like shoot electricity like out of his whole body. And I like wander around like a roaming electrical tornado.
And then mine, I switched over to that interceptor because of just the twin sword melee. And then as long as I kept a damage chain going, like if I went, because there were swarms of enemies, it just built up damage. And I just bounced from enemy to enemy in like a whirlwind of death. And that was amazing. That was fun too.
And again, not to mention how cool it looks when you're doing that stuff.
Yeah.
It looks even from the outside, really cool. We'd even take moments sometimes. I'd be like hovering and I was just like, oh, that's awesome. Drew's just like unleashing hell on these things.
Yeah, it is cool to like see it from your perspective and to see it because we're all playing together. You could see other things happening. Just the spectacle of what the game was doing was, man.
I am ready to.
I don't have. I forgot again like this. I don't know if you remember. I did not. I forget about ratings sometimes.
Did you rate? Do you have a rating there, Brian?
Out of 10? Yeah, I got a rating.
Dang, now I'm just a jerk here that didn't do my rating. I didn't write a rating. I can give it a number probably.
Well, I can go first, or Brian can go first, and then I'll go second, and then you can go third.
I should go in the middle since I don't have one.
You should go last so you have time to think on it.
No, that's too much pressure.
All right. And go Brian, you, then me.
Okay. So my rating is heavily influenced by the gameplay. So my rating is basically just the gameplay, not the story. And the story is what knocks it down. So I'm going with 5 repetitive missions out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that 5 is all gameplay and nothing to do with story. Because for me, the story was nothing but forgettable and I never cared about a single bit of it or anything. But the reason it gets a 5 is because I really enjoyed flying around and murdering all those helpless individuals.
Yeah, so many. What are they, mercenaries or bandits or something? Was it
bandits? There's bandits.
Yeah. Swaths of bandits.
Because you had like the wildlife, these things called scars.
Weren't the bandits talking, oh no, they got javelins. Or like, weren't they like up, like not prepared to deal with people who like mercenaries, like us?
They're just regular soldiers. We show up in these exoskeletons and it's like, oh, that's probably a bad deal. We shouldn't fight these guys.
That's funny.
Because you had all these different types of animals and stuff, but then your main thing were
But we never had to kill the animals. Did some of the animals provided like resources? I guess
some random resource who had piles and piles of resources. And yeah,
but it actually had a decent upgrade system where you could upgrade all the different parts of your body, and it had decent cosmetics and stuff. But
yeah, paint jobs and other cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
and again, like I said, we're back to we're probably doing right back to visuals that all the javelins that look cool as hell.
And you could customize. You had like skins, and you could paint them and stuff.
Sounded cool.
Oh yeah.
The sequence, we didn't mention the sequence, like when you're playing the main, like the outside, when you're in this town, you're in first person. And when you go, you can actually hop into a little sequence of hopping into your javelin in first person.
Yeah, it did.
And then you play the javelin gameplay is done in third person.
Yeah. We didn't mention that. That was pretty cool.
We mentioned that crap when we're talking about it.
But we're talking about enemies. there's enemy types. You have the Dominion, the Outlaws, and the Scar.
Is it the Scar? Outlaws, was a little...
that's what no, it was. The Outlaws were literally just, it says Outlaw Trooper, Outlaw Gunner, Outlaw Shotgunner.
Those are the human beings just we people. Just murdered.
And
then with
Scars
our
were like, they had Shock Troopers and Frost Hounds, and they were people that would unleash animals and stuff on you. And then you had the Scar, which were these enemy types that included the Titans and the monsters and hostile fauna and stuff like that.
I ain't got a thing for my number for my rating. I'll go a little higher than Brian because I did have a lot of fun. And it is fun playing together and stuff like that too. So I'll go a little bit higher and give it a six. You didn't see how he didn't hate it either, but I didn't have any, like, besides smidges of boredom. I get me, like, I think a six. This is a solid six. This could have been an eight or a nine given a year or two of more support and development and stuff like that. I mean, revamping. I mean, it could have been something special.
With just a very little bit of story improvement and like making me care about it at all, yeah, it would have been a solid eight and a half. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I love a good sci-fi story that's got a deep mythos that pulls me into jam. It. But
yeah, Mass Effect, man. We talk about walls of text. I spent dozens of hours in the Codex of Mass Effect. Yeah, just like enthralled because it was incredible.
And then how long did you spend trying to make decisions when you're faced with these decisions that you have to make and you know that it matters and that's what gets you.
Mm-hmm. Man.
All right.
Well, you Blake, wrap it up there.
For me, again, it's 110% to do with the gameplay, with the actual locomotion and running around in my javelin, in my exosuit, and just never getting bored with that. And just like you said, the sound effects, you sounded powerful.
Yeah,
we'll be able, like we, when you we, start we, running,
it, music a little bit, but the sound of it, it all,
would,
yeah.
You're up the as you good, would like start sprinting,
your boost sound, just the flying around, listening to the ambience of the planet. Well, we didn't talk much about the planet. It's kind of a jungly
planet, Coda.
Yeah, it's extremely. We spend all the time in the air, so it's incredibly vertical planet. We spend a lot of time, but it's like jungles and waterfalls. It's awesome.
It is really pretty.
Yeah,
it was very pretty, but also very forgettable. There was nothing that jumped out and grabbed you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also revisit the same area 15 million times.
Yeah.
Go back to this third waterfall on the left. Go back to the third waterfall on the right. It looks just like the third waterfall on the left.
But clear out this camp again. They're back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bah humbug. But so my rating is I give it 6 spell slinging storms out of 10.
We're all about the same ballpark. They have the same similar.
I could be persuaded to be with 6, but
no, I think it's easier.
No, you be the one on the bottom.
No, oh, I'm standing strong on my 5, but the fun I had though, the fun we had playing the game, I give that like an 8. We had a good time with the game, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Also, we should mention that I don't think we did. Like we were playing, our main thing, we're streaming Dark Souls 2 right now. We have a lot of, not so much last time, we ran into a lot of server issues. Did we have connectivity issues with Anthem? I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
Nope. Don't remember any.
And we should have, that's worth mentioning is connectivity. There's 3 of us playing a game together and not having any real issues staying connected, no lost servers, no getting dropped from games. I don't think we had anything like that. It was hard to get in, so it was, they did make it difficult to get into the same mission together.
Yeah, because you couldn't run around the town together.
You're not walking around town together, which
every Fort Tarsus is instanced to its person.
Yeah. So that would have been, if for a multiplayer centric game, we probably should have had a male. If it's tough because they wanted to be multiplayer and they wanted to have a story. Your character's not terribly relevant, but he has a voice actor. I feel like they maybe could have pulled a Shepard thing. And kind of had him voiced and then, but let you kind of make a face at least that your unit friends can see your cool looking character looks like and have Tarsus, because when you're in Tarsus, you have one dock for launching javelins. You can't be the only guy launching javelins. Why not have a bay of javelins and have you and your friends all sitting at the bay and showing, look at my javelin.
Yeah, so if you're going to do the multiplayer, they should have like really. Let me customize my guy. Let me wear a silly little shirt that says, you know, Storm Runner or something like that. You know,
he's
a little cosmetic for your
easy stuff. So it wouldn't
could look at this cool shirt I bought. It says,
look at my Dragon Age shirt, and you know, like it's like
tied in.
Yeah, just like they make for fun. But yeah, but they did make it. I remember it being complicated. I don't remember the exact menu clicking, but it did make it complicated to get into the same
mission. Someone had to start a mission, and then once you started the mission lobby, then you had to invite us in, or if we could find it by searching for your name, then we could go into it. Or
it sounds easy when you say it, but I remember it being convoluted.
Complicated.
But then everybody had to ready up at the right times. And
yeah.
What was that, Brian?
Everybody had to ready up at the right times and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It was a little complicated, but.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Is that it? Anybody got anything else they want to share? Think so?
I'm good.
Good, Blake?
I think I'm okay.
Cool. With that, we'll end the episode, of course. I think Brian thanked everybody on the front end, so I'm going to skip it on the back end here. We're going to announce our next game. It's a game me and Blake are quite excited about. It's been a long time since we played it, of course, because we play a lot of games and they get backlogged. But we're going to talk about is there a subtitle? Is this Miasma Chronicles?
Maybe we should call it Miasma
Chronicles. I'll look, there's like a subtitle. We've played a game from this developer before. We played Mutant Year Zero, which I'm pretty sure we raved about the combat system and the look of that game. Mutant Year Zero and Miasma Chronicles have similar combat systems. They're not related in any kind of way, but then both games we'll talk about a bunch of. That game looks freaking, it's like, looks incredible. Like I don't understand how these small studios like this make games that look as good as this game looks, but we're pretty excited to talk about it. It's been a year since we played Miasma Chronicles, but it was a game we enjoyed quite a bit. So that's it. Thank everybody for listening. You know, come if you like what you hear with us three goofy dudes talking about games, come to the streams, twitch.tv/twosmokingcontrollers. We're running, we're continuing our backwards run through the Souls franchise. We beat Dark Souls 3. We did everything in Dark Souls 3 except that one freaking dragon, which he put us down hard and heavy after two nights of trying. So then we played the other games and now we're into Dark Souls 2. But things are going relatively well. I think everybody's pretty happy. I don't know if things have clicked for Brian with magic yet, but I think you're starting to get there now. So you're starting to land it now. Yeah. Blake's got his punching build. I'm doing ultra great swords. We're all doing no shields. We're all maniacs. We're not running any no shield builds. We're all rolling around doing our stuff, but I think we're kind of enjoying Dark Souls 2 so far. So come hang out. It's always, whether anybody's good or bad at Dark Souls, I think any Dark Souls game is a fun game to watch. And we're, I don't say we're going through it blind. We're kind of playing it blind. Blake has a bit of a guide to kind of, we don't miss important items and stuff. Yeah, that's it. So with that, we'll let you go and come to the streams. It's a lot of fun.
And I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.